three simple words: ask, seek, and knock. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's the title. Asking speaks of our desire factor whenever we pray. This command, and also with that command comes the confidence. Seek speaks of God's direction factor. The knock speaks of our determination factor. My prayers and my desire for me and this church to be, for me to be a praying person, for this church to be a praying church. I have never been satisfied with my prayer life. Have you? I've never been satisfied with my prayer life. For me and for all of us as Christians, our greatest resource and power is really untapped. You know, we live in a country where we import a lot of our oil and our natural resources for our power and our energy, but you see, we have more untapped natural resources in the United States and probably any nation in the world if we just tap it. You know, we have a party in the White House that don't want us to do that. So we have untapped power in this country, gas and natural gas and coal, oil. But I think worse than that, that we have this untapped power we have called our prayer life. And that's a greater disaster for our church and for our life, for our nation. Our spiritual life will never rise any higher than our prayer life. And we need to learn how to pray and how to fast. I really believe he'll never be no greater or no better or really need be useful for God than what we can pray. And we need to learn to pray. Am I a praying Christian? Can you ask yourself that question? Are you a praying Christian? We'll read these verses of scriptures and see what God has to say. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you here for one of the greatest opportunities we have in this life, and that is to pray, and other than just to worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for these great, great privileges we have. Lord, that you allowed us, O God, to be praying to you and through your Son, Jesus Christ. We have a lot of things, Lord, we need to pray for and seek your leadership and guidance. Father, in your hand and mercy upon the many areas of our life and our church life, family life, our nation life. Father, we need to learn how to pray and really what it really means for us to pray and to pray to you and to pray the right way. Father, we want to thank you for on Wednesday night. We want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to meet together in the name of Jesus Christ. By being obedient to your word, Father, the people are here tonight. We want to thank you and praise you for what you've done in the hearts of your people right here tonight. And Father, already by people here of obeying your voice, obeying your command by being here, they have blessed one another. They have blessed you, and Father, we want to thank you for that. And Lord, they have lifted up these names. Lord, the command that you said for us to always to pray and lift up these names to you, we have done that here this night. Continue to do so. So we want to thank you for this privilege tonight. We ask you to help our understanding how to pray, how to fast, and Father, and how to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, as we think about this, the disciples asked Jesus Christ. Jesus, don't teach us how to, they didn't ask him, Lord, teach us how to preach. They didn't ask him that, or teach us how to sing, or teach us even how to lead, or anything else. They asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. That must have been very important, hadn't it? When they asked Jesus Christ to teach us to pray. The outline, you see, if we ask and we seek and we knock, we need to fast and pray, and it brings on our desire and our direction and our determination. All these three comes together to a point when we do this. You see, it speaks of all three of these things coming together, our desire and our direction and our determination. We put all three of these together when we pray, And it focuses, it comes down to focus to a point. Y'all see where, you know, where laser, this light, just with light, they use laser, and it just brings this, the laser light, and it gets down to a point, and it gets closer and closer and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, the laser light. And you know, light can burn through steel. It burns through steel. Why? Because it's been brought down smaller and smaller and smaller, focusing the point until it has the power to burn through steel. Well, see these three things that I'm talking to you about tonight. And God showed me, if you put all these things in our mind and we bring it down to that string we have on our finger, it's called fasting. Remember what we're supposed to be asking for. And we bring our prayers down to these and we focus on this thing. We have this great power, you see, as a laser point in our life. That is a laser point. And that's what we're asking God for. And we put all these points together. And by doing so, we see we have the power to burn steel. We have the power to burn steel. When we get all these, we get where God can answer us. I believe the greatest problem that I have, I believe the greatest problem that you have, this church have, is not unanswered prayer. I believe the greatest problem is unoffered and unasked prayer. Unoffered and unasked prayer. I'll read a first verse of scripture the Lord talking to us about asking. It says in James 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. Ye fight and you war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Luke 18:1 says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. That means not stop. Mark 14:38 says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication give thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. See, we're commanded to pray. You see, nowhere in the Bible is there any substitute that tells us a substitute for prayer. You know, no matter what it is, it don't matter if it's preaching, it don't matter if it's singing, it don't matter what it is. There's no substitute for prayer. There's no substitute for intercession prayer. What we just done tonight, when we offered these names up, do you know what that was? Intercessional prayer. It says that Jesus Christ is in heaven, right hand of God, making intercession for us right now. You know what? If we could just understand that Jesus Christ is praying for you. He's praying for you. How in the world could he call out all these names before God in heaven? You know, everything's possible with God, but he's praying for you. No matter what it might be, it might be for sick. As I said, we need to have intercession prayer for the sick, for the lost. Many Christians, you know, we fail so many times, and we're probably stricken in our life because, really, our spiritual life, because we never have learned to pray, and I don't think I'm very good at praying. I really believe I'm still in the kindergarten. May God help us as a person, as a church individual, is learn how to pray. Is to learn how to pray. And then I've already talked to you about why does God really ask us to pray? Why does God ask us to pray? He really commands us to pray. Why? Why were we here on Wednesday night? Why does he ask us to pray all through during the day, the prayer meeting? Matthew 6:7 says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. That you think that you got to have a real flowery word for God to hear and ask prayer. Don't be like them. It says in verse 8, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He already knows what we need before we ask him, so why do we ask him? Why do he say to pray? He already knows what we're going to do. We can't tell him anything. Prayer is not to impress God. Now, when we pray, it's not to impress God. Like you said, these flowery words. You know, some people say, man, I sure made a mess out of that prayer. No, you didn't. You might not have said the words that you thought might be the words that you needed to say, but you didn't make a mess out of it. Only time we make a mess out of it when we don't pray. So no matter who it is, it don't matter. Just a few words, whatever it is. But you see, we don't pray to impress God with vain repetition. It don't impress God when we pray. And do not inform him, because he already knows everything. He knows what you need before you ask. He knows everything. He's God. He knows everything. So you really, when you pray, you don't impress God, and really you don't inform God. And so when we pray, we really don't instruct God. You can't bend God's will to your will. That's not what it's all about. People think they're going to bend God, make God do something. You can't make God do anything. You're not going to change God's will with your prayer. Remember I told you that? You don't change God's will when you pray. You don't change what God does when you pray. You just change what God can do through you when you pray. A lot of difference there. Why? Why then? Well, when he asks us to pray, we children of God, when he asks us to pray, God knows whenever we pray and he invites us to, we invite God to be part of our lives. We invite God to be part of our life when we pray. God, I want you to be part of my life. And you see, we can delight ourselves in the Lord, what the scripture says. Whenever we ask God, Lord, this, that, and the other, whatever we ask him for, sometimes it's just praise. We invite God into our life. And we really need God, do we not, in our life? 1 Corinthians 6:1 says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. That means it says, we work together with him. God loves us so much. The God that made this universe. You know, that God had us in his mind before this world was ever spoken to existence. Before the foundation of the world. Looked down upon us. We hadn't even been born yet. This world wasn't even created yet. There was nothing there but God to start with. But you see, God loved us so much. He gave us the privilege or participation with him in his kingdom work through prayer. You think about that, Asuki, and the God of this universe invited you, me, little grain of sand, little ant upon this earth, to be part of his working kingdom through prayer. Now, God can work without our prayers, but we can't work without God. We can't work without God. It's prayer that causes us to depend upon him. God does not want us to live our life independent of him. And from him, as many do today, say they're Christians, say they're saved, and they have no time for God. That's not what God expects out of their life. That's not what God expects out of their life. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Prayer invites God to take control of our life. That's what prayer does. It invites God to take control of our life. Now, the devil's real. Y'all understand that? As Brother Robert sung that song, the devil's real. But I tell you, the devil cannot keep God from answering your prayer. Did y'all know that? The devil can't keep God from answering your prayer. He's powerful, but he's not all powerful. So the next thing he does, he will keep you from asking. Because he can't keep God from answering your prayer. But if he puts all these other things before you, and if he keep you seeing these old worldly things and not asking God, you see, he's got you where he wants you. The untapped energy that we have to keep us from praying. You know what? I really think the devil does a pretty good job at this because he's got enough ammunition. You know what he uses? He uses the world and he uses the flesh to keep us from praying. Because see, if he can keep us from praying, God don't have to worry about answering our prayer if we don't pray. We have not because we ask not. Isn't that simple? I wish I'd known that years ago. Okay, the title, Ask, Seek, and Knock. I'm fixing to get into my sermon now, about half the time through. We're about time in. Now, ask. That speaks of our desire factor that we have when we ask him. We got a desire. When we pray, we got a desire when we pray, right? No matter what it is, it might not be the right desire, but we got a desire factor. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of our heart. Our heart desire to have something that we're asking God for. Now, our life is not divided into a spiritual and a secular, as we see a lot of things today, or the sacred and the secular. You see, it's never divided. The Bible never divides life up in sections. You see, Jesus was holy all the time. His life wasn't divided up as a human or as God. He was totally human and God. It was not divided. And see, God intends for our life not to be divided. You see, we come to church, and we have church on Sunday, we tonight, and we get kind of holy, and we get kind of religious. But see, God expects our whole 7 days to be like it is on Sunday. Boy, but mine's not. But it should be. That's what God expects. It should be, every day should be a holy day with the Lord. Every day should be a holy day with the Lord. But look at these other things that pulls us down so much. It pulls us down. But you see, as I told you many times, like used to, the Reader's Digest always had a chapter on religion. Might have been true, might not, but always had a chapter on religion in that Reader's Digest. Also, TV Guide had that a lot of times, a chapter. And a lot of other magazines have chapters of religion in their book, magazine. But you see, that chapter don't permeate the rest of that book. It only stays right there in that chapter. It don't permeate the rest of the whole chapter. A lot of people, and even Christians today, they just got one chapter. Just one chapter. And the other chapters is do what I want to do. You see, God never divides life up like that. God never divides life up like that. It's the whole thing. Now you see, Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Our responsibility is for the asking. That's where your responsibility comes in, as prayer. You do the asking. It's God's responsibility to do the giving. But it's ours to do the asking. If we don't ask, you ask not, you receive not. Boy, I'm guilty of this, are y'all? I thought about this whenever I was putting this together. And I get to heaven. Someone's told me this before. To get to heaven, I don't know who's going to be up there and escort me around. Might be old Gable. I don't know. I want to see Jesus face to face. I'm going to see that for sure. He might be just old Gable. He might assign him to a task to show me all the things of heaven. And he showed me the old beautiful sights over here. And I say, my goodness, what is that, Gable? He says, that's a thing you could have had on earth if you'd have prayed for it. He might show me a whole lot more than that. He said, look at the things you could have had on the earth, how beautiful and how blessing you could have been if you had asked for them. We ask not. We have not because we ask not. Lord, I'm guilty of this. My goodness, I'm not talking about this anymore. God asks us to pray, don't he? And he invites us to pray. But you know what else he does? He commands us as a children of God to pray. Commands us. And Jeremiah 33 and 3, it says, call unto me. Now that's a command. Did y'all know that? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what I'm telling you, all these things I didn't know about. He said, call upon me. He says, you know what I'll do? I'll show you some great things. What he said, you know what? If we just get our life right and start praying, I'll show you some things that you don't even believe. Woo, this is getting good, isn't it? He commands us to pray. Jeremiah 32 and 17 also says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by the great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. Now we can pray all we want to and ask. He says, ain't nothing too hard for God. Now do y'all believe that? We got to ask it in the right way. Command. God commanded us to pray. Now if he have asked of us, and that's what the Bible says, he commands us to pray. Okay, if we don't pray, do you know what that means? That means that's a sin. That's respectful sin, not praying. That's a respectful sin, but that is a sin. Failure to pray is also, it's an insult to God. Have y'all insulted God today? And not only that, it's a tragedy to me if I don't pray. And then with this command to pray, we can have the confidence that comes with that command. It says there in Jeremiah 33, and as I read, call upon me, and then what it says, this confidence, and I will answer thee. You know what? That's God speaking to you. That's not what God has said. That's what God is saying. You know, sometimes we read these about, like Jeremiah and all these Old Testament prophets, we think that's not what God said in the past. It's what God's saying now. He says, call upon me, command. And with that command comes the confidence that God said, I will answer. That I'm going to answer it. And God always answers. Y'all know that? Golly, he always answers. I've been over this sometime. He answers, specially deliver, right then. He gives you just exactly right then what you asked for. You know, example in the Bible. Peter's walking on the water. You know what? He didn't have time for a long prayer. Lord, save me. And you know what he done? He done it right then. Instant. You know, sometimes he answers your prayer. I like it whenever I pray for things and right then God answers them. Don't y'all? But he don't do that every time. He don't do that every time. You know, sometimes he delays and says, wait. I don't like wait. But he says, wait. Lord, therefore will he wait that he may be gracious unto you. You know, he's got to have this timing right. You pray for this thing, but you know, he's got the timing right. When he puts the timing right, to get you just right where he can bless you. You got to get the timing right. He got to get you in shape to receive this blessing. I don't like to wait. When I want anything, I want it right now. Don't y'all? Yeah, y'all do too. But Lord says sometimes he says, you pray now, sometimes he give it to us right then. Sometimes he says, wait. And sometimes, you know what? He gives us a different than what we asked for. And I'm glad of that. Did you ever thank God for he changed your prayer life? You know what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10? For this thing I besought thee, Lord, thrice, three times, that I might depart from me, talking about thorn and flesh. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I might be weak in the flesh, but I'm going to tell you, all through Paul went through, he said, boy, I tell you, God strengthened me. And you know, when it says the outer man perish, but the inner man renews day by day. You see, these old bodies is perishing every day. You born dying. But you see, you should grow spiritual every day. You should never, ever, ever stop growing as a Christian. The Bible says that we are to grow daily. So the Bible says, you know, delays. Sometimes he says, you know, he don't deliver it right then, and sometimes he does, sometimes it's different. And then, you know, and sometimes he just says, no, he denies our prayer. No, I'm not going to give that to you. You know why? Because he says, I'm sovereign. God, Jeremiah 32 and 17, behold, I am the Lord thy God. All flesh is there. For is anything too hard for me? He said, I'm the Lord. You know, I'm not going to give it to you. Why? Because I said I'm God. And I can do whatever I want to do. And I said, you can't have it. I'm not going to give it to you. You know what? Anything God does is better than what we think it is. He never makes a mistake. He said, I made heaven, I made earth. And I said, he's got all power. And I said, this is my credentials, God says. In verse 32, chapter 32 and verse 27, he says, I am the Lord. I am God. A lot of times, you know, we say the law of nature. They really know such thing as law of nature, the law of God that the nature obeys. Did y'all know that? There's a law of God that nature obeys. Man don't think it don't obey God's laws. We think about this. The problem is not with God. The problem is not with his ability. You know the problem we have in our country, the problem we have in our society, the problem that we're having in our life, the problem we have in our family. You know it's not because of God's ability. You know what? He could change this country overnight. You know he could change you overnight. He could change our family overnight. You talk of revival sweeping this land. He could do that because it's not about his ability. That's not the problem. It's the problem with us. Matthew 27:19, on down to 21. Then came his disciples to Jesus Christ apart and said, why couldn't we not cast him out? When the disciples went up on the mountain to come back down, this man said, you know, I got my son. He's vexed with us with a demon or we need to ask you to pray for them. They couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, how verily I say unto you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, grain of a mustard seed, you shall unto the mountains, remove them henceforth place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Jesus said, reason your father have not answered it because of your inability to believe that he can do it. It's your unbelief. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and the world without end. Amen. Ask. I've got that far in 30 minutes already. We're going to have prayer tonight. We're going to have prayer. I ain't going to ask anybody if they fasted, but we're going to have prayer. I got a few minutes. I mean, just a 2 or 3 minutes. But we're going to have special prayer tonight. We're going to have special prayer. I'm going to call out some names. And anybody that you got on your name that you'd like for us to pray for, if you hold up your hands, if you don't want to call the name, the reason, the person, or whatever you want to pray for, but we're going to do this. And I wish we had time to get the ground and hold hands and have a whole string of prayer, but I done messed up again. I will repent it again. But I want us to bow our head this hour. Now, if anybody got any names at this time that you'd like to call out, or anybody, any special request on your heart, you don't have to call out if you raise your hand. You got somebody you want to pray for, something that you want to pray for, and you got a prayer request. One thing, several things, that God knows about it. And we really, when we come on Wednesday night, I'm going to try to do this myself, and I said, I'm going to try to fast. I think Wednesday night should be for our prayer and fasting. And it's up to you. I'm not going to ask you to, because like I said, I don't know your spiritual condition, I mean your physical condition. It'll help you, your spiritual condition, but I don't know. It might be you won't do without water for a week, or you might want to do without water for a day, or you might do without a glass of water. It might be, whatever it might be, I don't know. But it ought to be up to you and to God. But I think we're to call for a fasting, and it's up to the person. That's something that you want, this church, you want to see in your life, you want a blessing upon that person. It might be yourself, it might be your family, whatever it might be. As we bow our head right now, I'd like for us to go to this Lord in prayer. And I said, I wish we had more time, but I'm sorry. Time is fastly slipping by. But as we bow our head this hour, do you have? Yes, thank you.